I love that slide that had the kid in the Dr. Seuss shirt. That was pretty awesome. I didn't know Dr. Seuss made it all the way over there. That's great. I also liked your little dress you had on, Gary. That was sweet, too. But anyway, let's move on. I'm excited to be here this morning. I don't get a lot of opportunities to be up here in front of you guys, except in front of mostly junior high students. And sometimes their parents, but this is great to get an opportunity, and I always like it because I get the opportunity in the summertime, so I only have to do two services, not three, so it's always a good thing. I wanted to introduce you to our newest member of our family. I'm going to tear up already. This is Noah Timothy, actually. I got my name in there, just the middle name, but Noah Timothy, he was born April 16th, and it was our third, Candace likes to say it was my third attempt at a boy. We have two girls, so that was going to be my third strike. So Noah Timothy, he's 7 weeks old, sleeping somewhat okay. Candace is pretty worn out, but we're doing great. And we have a daughter Kendall, who's three, Sydney, who's five, and then my wife Candace, and she does an unbelievable job helping raise these kids. I'm really the one helping. She's just amazing what she does. So we appreciate all of you guys and how you support us and our family. I have another picture here that I wanted to share with you. Some of you might know that I'm from Philadelphia. Candace and I, when we were dating, we had a picture on either side of Rocky, right outside of the Spectrum, which is where the Sixers used to play, which is no more. But Candace wouldn't let me scan that picture and show it. I don't know why. Something about her hair wasn't right. I don't know. So that's Rocky. Why am I bringing up Rocky? Well, the title of our lesson today is The Sequel. The Sequel is our title, and kind of playing off of the idea of a movie theme. And so, of course, what movie would I pick? It would be Rocky, right? Rocky is one of the greatest series, and of course I'm partial, one of the greatest series of movies that's out there. And so Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 I would probably strike off the list. 5 isn't worthy to be a Rocky movie. The last one wasn't bad either, but we think about movies and sequels and things like that. I think of Godfather. That's another good series, although the kids, you shouldn't watch it. I think of series of movies and sequels and things like that. You know, you have sequels, and most of the time the sequels are horrible. Most of the time the sequels that we check out, we're all pumped. We're like, oh, this is going to be great. I don't know why we get all excited about them, because most of the time they stink. And you know, although it would be nice to sit around here for 30 minutes or so to talk about, you know, the ones that are good, the ones that are bad, maybe we can have an argument over them and, you know, say what's good and what's not. What we're going to be talking about today is something a little bit more important than that, obviously. It's about the sequel in our relationship with God, which is the gospel. The gospel in our lives, God begins to work the work of the gospel when we are called by Him, by the Holy Spirit, to receive Christ. But unfortunately, in a lot of our lives, that's where it ends. And there's no sequel. There's no part two. There's only a part one. And we do our thing where we pray, and we do maybe what the Sunday school teacher told us to do, and that's it. And we think that's the end of the gospel in our lives. And we don't realize that's the beginning of our gospel journey. And so, you know, the sequel, that disappointment plays out in a lot of ways in our lives. You know, some of us believe our conversion was the end of the movie, just part one. Some believe that we can create our own part two. You know, we just kind of do our own thing and call it the gospel. Some of us believe that the sequel is just a series of boring encounters and relationships and dinners together as a church body until we just kind of bide our time, until we finally receive the infamous fire insurance that we're all banking on. But very few of us, including myself at times, really understand the gospel and what it's meant to be in our lives after we are converted to Christ. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, the sequel. Before we get into part two, though, we kind of have to look at part one a little bit to kind of understand what the gospel and how it works in our lives to even draw us to Christ to begin with. And before we look at what the gospel is, we need to look at what the gospel is not. So I came up, there's a bunch of different things that you could identify what the gospel is not, but there's a few things that I came up with. How many of you remember this show? Anybody? Now, old school, I had to put it old school up there because I know a lot of you might remember the old school one. There is a new one with a new comedian up there. It's a pretty good show, but Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall. I bring that up because it was kind of weird how this worked out when Gary asked me if I'd be interested in coming up here. I'm like, yeah, sure, this would be awesome. I love coming up to share with people and the people at TBC. But it's interesting how this came up because right after he asked me, you know, I go home sometimes on Friday, I get the day off, and so I'm hanging out at the house, and we put Kendall, our three-year-old, down for a nap, but both of Kendall and Sydney were really tired on this Friday, and so I put them both down for a nap. And so I go just chill out in the living room and just hanging out and turn on the TV and Let's Make a Deal's on. And this was one of my favorite shows growing up. Like I used to watch it when I was little with my mom and we would watch these goofy people get up there all dressed up. It's really weird. But so it's on and I hear this rustling in the hallway. And we have a hallway that if you're watching TV, you can't really see who's in that hallway. But the people in the hallway could see the TV. So I know who this is. It's not Candace checking up on me to see what I'm watching. It's actually Sydney, our five-year-old. And I go, Sydney, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in bed. You're supposed to be resting. But Daddy, I love watching this show with you. Oh, what am I going to do? All right, come on in. You know, we'll snuggle up on the couch and watch Let's Make a Deal. So I go later and I see that she had brought her little white chair out into the hallway. She's sitting there watching the show and it just, you know, just made me crack up when I walked in there. But the point of this isn't how cute my daughter is, although she is very cute. The point of this is a lot of us approach the gospel and a lot of people have a picture of the gospel as this show. Let's make a deal. All right, God, you want me to do this? Then do this for me. You want me to do this? Well, all right, bring healing to my grandmom who's sick. And I'll follow you. Oh, wait, God, you let me down. Sorry. You didn't keep up your deal. So let's make a deal is one of the things. Another way we approach the gospel is not the picture of a used car salesman, if you can't get that up there. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this guy around, but a lot of times, you know, we do that. We approach the gospel as it's kind of like we pitch it like a used car salesman. When I came to Beaumont, Candace, my wife is from Beaumont, when I came there and I hung out there for a few weeks in the summer before we got married, I was watching their TV, their local TV, and I got to say, Beaumont has probably the worst commercials on the planet for local television. And some of them were like used car salesmen, and it was just horrible. The cheesiest graphics popping up, the old like spinny stuff that's not even like, kind of like that slide we saw, was kind of like off a little bit. It's just really strange. And so these commercials pop up, and you see these used car salesmen pop up on the screen, almost like this guy here. And what I pictured, I kind of wrote my own ad when I was preparing for this message today. This is what if I was a used car salesman, this is how I would pitch the gospel. If you choose to follow Christ, for a limited time we will throw in streets of gold, escaping flesh-consuming flames, a lifetime supply of the most heavenly food you can imagine, and no need for tissues ever again. And we kind of laugh a little bit, but that's kind of the way the gospel is presented a lot of times. Maybe it was presented to you that way. Like a used car that we can pedal and sell and be like, here, it's good, isn't it? Here, check this out. You'll never cry again. But the gospel is not something that we pitch like a used car salesman. It's also not selfish. I was looking for a picture of my girls fighting over a toy, but I had to pick that one. It's not selfish. John Piper put, he has a great quote on this. We are willing to be God-centered, it seems, as long as God is man-centered. We are willing to boast in the cross as long as the cross is a witness to our worth. Who then is our pride and joy? Somehow we follow the gospel and we start to follow Christ, but we still want the gospel to be about us. We still want it to be about what God can do for me. And what Christ did on the cross and how it affects me, and it's all about me, and it continues to be this selfish pursuit. And we just trade in one selfish pursuit of following our flesh into another selfish pursuit of looking into Scripture, and somehow we still make it about us. John Wooden, the best college basketball coach that ever, probably ever lived, I heard a quote from him looking at it. He passed away a few days ago. And he had a quote that said, happiness begins when selfishness ends. He had a lot of little quotes like that that he would use on his teams over the years that he coached. But I guess I would plug something into that quote. The gospel begins when selfishness ends. So the gospel isn't let's make a deal. It's not something we pitch like a used car salesman. It's not selfish. Let's look at what the gospel is. Now, I'm 35 years old, and some of you that sounds old, especially some of you guys over here, especially down front, some of you that sounds young. My dad's a pastor. He's been a pastor ever since I can remember. And even to this day, 35 years later, I'm still discovering things about the gospel that I didn't know or I didn't understand. And there's a lot of things about the gospel that God wants to teach us as we read the Word and as we study and as we allow people to teach us. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's look there. It's kind of interesting what is written there in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 about the gospel. It's pretty much a definition that we can all run with. Paul is writing here and he says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Here's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ died, and a lot of you probably went through this week, maybe last week for baptism, your baptism interviews. We talked about this gospel. Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again. That's the start of the gospel story. The gift of the gospel, though, we have to understand, is God Himself. It's important for us to get that. The gift of the gospel is God Himself. It's not just forgiveness of sins. It's not just justification by faith. It's not just eternity in heaven, although those are all great things. But your main reward, your greatest reward, when coming to the gospel and seeing Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, the greatest reward is God. That you have, that I have the privilege to talk to God. That I have the privilege to have eternity in heaven, sitting at Jesus' feet, sitting at God's feet and worshiping together. It's important for us to realize this, because if we come at the gospel as something that just provides something for us, eternity in heaven, you know, no more crying and all these things, then we are understanding a gospel that's not true. And we are believing in a false gospel when we don't understand, and we don't understand what it's meant to provide for us, but that it's not about us, but it's about God. It's about Jesus. And it's about our tiny little part in the whole huge picture, where we try to paint ourselves as the stars of the show, where God Himself, Jesus, is the star of the show. And we are barely, I don't even think we're actors. We're the helpers. We're the people backstage, so to speak. God's the man. God is the star of the show. And so we understand the gospel that way. It starts to change our perspective a little bit. And even as I was reading last night, I was looking at Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to turn over there. Great passage, Ephesians chapter 2 on the gospel. Again, this is Paul writing, and he's talking about being made alive in Christ, what the gospel, how the gospel works in our lives to make us alive. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God," notice this, verse 4, "God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Verse 6, "and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I don't see anything in that passage about the focus being on us. What I see in that passage, the only focus I see, was that I was a dirty, rotten sinner. And I still am. I was dead in my transgressions, dead in my sin, dead in my denial of God and His Son. The focus that I see there is that Christ died to bring us to God. Christ died to bring us into a relationship with Him, where the focus is on Him and not on us. And when it comes to looking at the gospel like a movie in our lives, and we see this conversion that takes place, the sequel in your life, the part two, the post-conversion experience, may be bad in your life because the gospel you believed was fiction. Maybe you're experiencing a part two and you're saying, "This stinks. Is this really a relationship with God? Is this really what it's about? This is kind of lame." Well, maybe you need to go back and look at what you believed to begin with. Maybe you need to look back and look at what you trusted in. Because the post-conversion gospel, the sequel to the first movie, just gets better. It just gets better every day. And if that's not happening, there's a challenge to your heart to look at what you're trusting in and look at what you're believing in. And it's a tough challenge that I had to think through the last few weeks. You know, in order for the highlights of the sequel to not just consist of killer potluck dinners, well-attended fall festivals, brain-busting Bible studies, and maybe your kid not appearing as the lead on the 10 o'clock news. In order for all this to happen, we need to look at how the gospel affects our heart. It needs to be more than that. It's got to be more than just a bunch of fellowship and then we're done. It's got to be more than just, okay, dragging my kid to church every Sunday and then we're finished. The gospel has to be more than that in our lives. So let's look at the gospel and the heart. People that don't understand the gospel, Jesus quoted Isaiah in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, and he said, kind of a summary of this, he says, "You know what they do? They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They honor me with their lips. They can even be just like we were today, this morning, honoring Jesus through song, but our heart is far from Him. So the gospel in the heart, Luke 12:34, gives us a good picture of this, a good challenge. "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, as we looked at Ephesians 2, we saw that we were dead in our transgressions. We were dead in our sin, our lust, and fulfilling evil desires until part one came along. until Christ got a hold of our lives, the Holy Spirit drew us into a relationship with God. We were children of wrath. That's a phrase that is pretty gripping and pretty graphic. We were under the wrath of God. We were identified as receiving God's wrath because we didn't have Christ's blood covering our sins. But fortunately for us, God's grace and mercy did a heart overhaul in our lives. A complete heart overhaul so that we can understand the gospel in a more clear way. The parable of the sower gives a great picture of this. If you understand the parable of the sower, there's a man in this parable that was throwing seed out on different soil, and he was trying to produce a crop, and he's throwing the seed, and some landed on the road, the rocky soil, some landed, and the thorns came up, and the weeds came and choked it out, and then some landed on the healthy soil. And the healthy soil that I like to picture is our heart. And that seed was spread on the healthy soil, and it took root into that deep, rich soil. But it didn't just take root, okay? The seed didn't just come out and then just stay there, right? The seed went into that soil and was watered and actually produced fruit, like it says, the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil. This is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So although there will be comedy, suspense, mystery, and possibly horror in this gospel journey, to have a true sequel that's worthy to be called the Gospel Part 2, there needs to be action. There's got to be action. We understand that the gospel takes root in our heart, and it affects us deep down, not just up here, but it affects us in a profound way. There is no other choice, if you've truly experienced the real gospel, than for you to take action in your lives. Now, men, I got to talk to you just a little bluntly today. Let's think about this. What kind of movies do men most like? What kind of movies do men most like? What? Action. Thank you. Action. We all like action movies, and we drag our wives to them, and then they drag us to the sappy ones, right? We all like action movies, men, but here's the problem. We kind of pride ourselves on liking action, you know, the blood, the guts, and all this stuff, things exploding and crashes and things like that. And we kind of put ourselves out there like this person that is all into action. But for some reason, it's all right here. Because when it comes to the stuff that really matters, we sit around. We sit around. We're all about action when it comes to our entertainment, and we may even be about action when it comes to the things, our hobbies and things like that. Whether it's golf or whether it's playing other sports or real sports or... Sorry. I just tuned a bunch of guys out. I'm sorry about that. I'll be there someday. But we're all about action in our entertainment and things like that. But when it comes to things that matter, the gospel and how it's spelled out and lived out in our heart, into our hands and our feet, for some reason us guys have a problem. And it's unfortunate and it's sad that the majority of the workers in our church, the majority of the people that are making a difference, are women. No offense to the women. I love that women serve. But where are our men? Where are they? You're saying, hey, I serve. Then I'm not speaking to you. But think about it, guys. We push our kids to do things. We pat our wives on the back for serving in the nursery and things like that. But where's your action? You're all about action. Except for when it comes to the spiritual things of living out the gospel. And it's a hard lesson, but it's one we need to hear. So So let's look at the gospel in action. Philippians 1:27 is a great verse on this. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Notice those two words, striving together. It doesn't say hanging out together. It doesn't say, you know, just enjoying some downtime together. It says striving together. Striving together. It involves some form of work, I think. Striving. Striving. And so it's a good challenge for us to think about Ephesians again. Ephesians 2:10 gives us a great example. It says we are His workmanship. And we are created for what? Good works. This isn't part one, don't get me wrong. Part one, your conversion experience isn't good works. We're talking about part two, the sequel. You are created for good works. For action. I think the problem that exists sometimes, I was talking to my wife about this a little bit. She kind of helped me prepare for this. And the problem that exists sometimes is what you see up here. We live a life a lot of times that is divided. We see our lives as segmented. A lot of times into two things. We see our lives as, okay, here's Sunday morning, it's sacred. Maybe when I have a little devotion with my kids, it's sacred. Maybe when I pray, it's sacred. Then when I go to work, it's what? It's secular. When I'm at the baseball game, maybe coaching, maybe in the stands, it's secular, so I can scream at that umpire. Hanging out with my friends, it's secular. The movies I watch doesn't affect the sacred, right? Because I live in two worlds. I live in two separate existences. And it's interesting that we do that, but that's how we do it. I do that too. And the gospel isn't about that. The gospel is something that permeates every aspect of our lives, our work, our play, our church attendance, our Bible study. It affects it all. I heard this one illustration given where you picture the gospel as like the center of a wheel. The gospel is in the middle, and everything that happens around are like spokes on the wheel, whether it's entertainment or sports or family things or work. They're all shooting out from the center, which is the gospel. But unfortunately, we have a bad picture of the gospel and we think, okay, here's my gospel stuff here. Here's my conversion. Here's my walk with Christ. Here's this, this, and this. And these are the times I do it. Slot, 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 and here's the schedule. All right, now I'm over here. Kids have a soccer game. Kids are going to school. I'm volunteering here. I'm working. This is where I'm living. Gospel's over there. I'll get to you in a second, gospel, but right now I'm a little busy. When if we truly understand the gospel, it involves action, it involves our heart, and it involves our entire lives. Exactly how we live every day. I know none of you probably remember this, but last time I was up here, I challenged everyone to give them something to eat. Those who are in need. Those who are struggling. And although God continues to challenge my heart in that area, He's kind of growing that in me to understand, you know what? The gospel isn't just about helping those in need. You need to be a more hospitable person. And growing up in the Northeast, that's not always the case. Hospitality, I don't think we're known for that. Going back to the start of my sermon, we are known for having an extreme love for a fictional character like Rocky, for some strange reason, but we're not known for hospitality. And God has challenged me recently to say, you know what, if you want to live this gospel out, if you want to act on the gospel in your life, how about you get to know your neighbors? How about you invite them into your home? How about you go to somebody maybe outside of maybe what you're used to? Get a little crazy and maybe talk to someone that doesn't look like you, or maybe isn't in the same pay scale, or maybe they're probably way above me, but isn't in the same pay scale. You know, think about it. Sometimes we live these lives that are kind of like these, it's like Jim Carrey, thinking of movies and that movie where he's just going over and over again, the same thing, you know, and he's just, what was that movie? Truman Show. And it's like we make fun of the Truman Show, but a lot of times that's what our lives are like. We're with the same people, the same things, birthday party again, all right, what's next? And it's like we're these robots. And God's calling us to live outside of that, to bust that wide open and say, hey, the gospel's about action. And for me right now, he's challenging me in the area of hospitality, to reach out. Not the hospitality you're thinking of, like, okay, I'm going to invite my best friends over for dinner. That's nice that you invite them over for dinner, and maybe you can invite me someday, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people you might not know, or maybe they're kind of on the fringe, maybe you kind of encounter them sometimes, but actually exploring a relationship with people that might scare you. People that might be, I'm not talking about bringing people into your home that might harm your kids, okay? Tim, I tried it, and sorry. Can't help you. No, I'm talking about reaching out to those around you, your neighbors, your next door neighbors. Have you had them over for dinner? Your neighbors across the street, have you reached out to them at all? Invited them to do things with you? Go to a baseball game or something? So that's where I'm being challenged, but I can't speak for you. God may be challenging you in something totally different. The Holy Spirit has to work in your life in that. But the gospel has to be understood where we have to have maybe a kind of a mindset change. And the only real way, besides just coming Sunday morning, to have that heart change and that mind change in approaching the gospel is reading the Word, spending time in prayer. Maybe your gospel journey, your sequel, isn't very good because you haven't opened the script, so to speak. Maybe you expect it just to happen to you, but God's given us instruction. He's given us His Word that's alive and that can help you in this action and help you in the heart understanding of what it truly is. But it's important for us to understand that if you're living what you call the gospel and there's no action in your life, you've understood a false gospel. I want you to understand that. And I want it to sink in because it's very clear in God's Word. You can come back and argue with me at the end, but go to the Word and you see it. And I'm not talking about part one. I'm not talking about your conversion experience involves action. I'm talking about the sequel, the post-conversion, and what happens, because it's very clear in God's Word. And let's look at that. John 13:35. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he finishes up, and he says, very clearly, this is right after he performed action, right after he washed the disciples' feet. Here's Jesus, the man who to me would be like, oh, you just sit back, kind of like Peter. Hey, you don't need to wash my feet. Well, you can't be part of me. All right, give me a complete bath. It's kind of weird, but that's what Peter said. So he's saying here, Jesus completed this action of washing the feet, and then Jesus said this to them, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. This is very clear. This is how all men will know that you are my disciples. People of TBC, visitors, family members, I don't know who's here today, but here's the deal. People will know very clearly if you truly believe the gospel and if you are a living example of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, if you are living an act of love, a walking act of love for others. And because none of us are equipped, because my brain works really weird, none of us are equipped with like a neon sign that blinks love on the front of our forehead, we need to show it by action. We can't just wear t-shirts and say, I'm all about love and I believe the gospel. The gospel is great. We can't just wear the t-shirt. We got to take action if it has truly affected our heart. So as we've been discussing a little bit, Stephen discussed last Sunday about being missional, being part of your community, becoming all things to all people so that you may win some. We've been discussing being missional, and then a life of personal surrender we've also been discussing. And this ties perfectly into this. Does your life exemplify a life of personal surrender to Christ daily? A daily giving over of my will and receiving the gospel and letting it affect every area of our lives. I included this quote mostly because this guy signs my checks, but it was pretty profound. Danny Cunningham, our executive pastor, we were going over some ideas, talking in staff meeting, and this is the challenge he gave. Many have surrendered their eternity, but not their here and now. We've accepted the fire insurance. We've accepted the gospel that says, all right, you're going to heaven, and then we just live our lives the way we want the rest of the way. That's cool. But what about the here and now? Has that affected your life? Has the gospel changed your life today? Is it going to change how you act today? And some of you may be sitting here saying, I don't know what you're talking about, this sequel thing, because I've never experienced part one. Well, it's a perfect chance for you today to maybe have the part one, the gospel alive in your life, where you recognize that Jesus died on the cross so that you may live. An undeserving sinner, just like me, just like you, Jesus died on the cross and said, I'm going to die in your place and give you the hope of eternity. Not eternity just to enjoy, no tears, great food, awesome fellowship, great worship, but most importantly, the eternity to be with God Himself. That's what's being offered this morning. Says you, watch this video. I want you to think about and be challenged. Now, I don't want you to use this video as a chance to slip out. I know some of you need to leave and go get your seat at Golden Corral. But I want you to... I've never eaten at that place here, at least. But I want you to watch this video because it's not your typical touchy-feely, like, you know, cute little video. This video is a challenging video that made me just pray. Because I watched and I was like, wow, I need to look at the gospel and the way I see it and the way I live it out. And this video kind of gives us a good challenge. And then Mark and the guys will come up and close us out. And if you want to talk at all about anything that we looked at this morning, I'll be in the back. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you and maybe even introduce you to part one. That'd be awesome. Check this out.
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm a Christian, and this is my story. Growing up, I never missed going to church. When I was 12, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was even baptized. It undoubtedly was a very important decision. It even affected how I lived in high school. I mean, don't get me wrong, I had fun on the weekends. I had a girlfriend, a couple, but I was a normal high school kid. College was one big blur, But I did make it to church out of obedience. And after school, I married a great girl. And she's been a great influence on me. Life's been good. I have a house, 3 kids. I couldn't ask for more. I mean, sure, I worry about my future. I mean, my marriage, it could be better. And I need to spend more time with my kids, but things will be all right. I have my faith. You may not hear me talk about it a lot, but that's just because it's personal. But don't worry for me. My Jesus is real.
Living out the gospel. That's what we're talking about. Not just on Sundays when you show up here, but every day as you take Christ with you wherever you go. Father, we pray that we might be found faithful as men and women who live out the truth of who you are, that our lives reflect you, and that we impact the world for our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen. And you're dismissed.